If we don't read the word and memorize it, we will become paralyzed. We will become socially skilled, but spiritually paralyzed, anemic, having no power to ward off our attacks of the enemy, which will come. And we have to be ready for that. We will get stuck in mediocre ruts, trying to find our own way through the darkness without a lamp. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." I want to look at that again, so keep that up there, guys. I want you to look how many times the word beginning is used. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were what? Made through him. You know what he's talking about there? Making something new. Do you need something new in your life? Do you need a new happiness? Start with the Word. Do you need a new season of joy? Start with the Word. Do you need a new season of breakthrough? Start with the Word. Do you need to rebuild a new season of marriage? Start with the Word. Do you need to build a new business? Start with the Word. Do you need a new family circumstance to change? Start with the Word. The Word of God is the foundation that will last when heaven and earth fades away. The Bible says the Word of God will stand forever, and amen and amen. See, the thing about the Bible is that it's not just a book. Now, I've written books, and several people in this room have written books. It's not just about a book. It's not about reading a book. It is much more than that. It is the only book that is actually alive, the only book that actually has living DNA that infects, if that's a good word, it gets in your spirit and causes your spiritual DNA to multiply and grow when you read it. The Word of God is the only living book like that. As a matter of fact, what makes the Bible so amazing is that the Bible was written over a 1500 period time by 40 different writers, yet reads as though one writer wrote it all, because all of them were inspired by the same writer. And it wasn't just writers that wrote it. Moses, an Egyptian prince, Joshua, a slave and foot soldier, Samuel, a priest, David, a shepherd and a king, Esther, a queen, an adopted young lady who became the queen of a foreign country, Ruth, a housewife, Job, a farmer, a rich farmer, Amos, a poor farmer, Ezra, a scribe, Isaiah, a prophet, Daniel, a prime minister, Nehemiah, a cupbearer, Matthew, a tax collector who became a disciple, not the most popular guy, Mark, a young evangelist, Luke, a medical doctor, a physician. He wasn't even a preacher, and yet wrote one of the Gospels. John, a wealthy fisherman. Peter, a poor fisherman. Jude, a carpenter and half-brother of Jesus. James, a carpenter and half-brother of Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. Paul, a tent maker and a government worker. Now, that's only 20. There's 40 writers. That's only half of them. And they span every idea of the spectrum that you can begin to imagine of people that you and I would have probably not chosen to write the Bible. And not only did they write it, some of the Bible was written on clay tablets. Some of the Bible was written on stone tablets. Some of the Bible was written by berry juice on papyrus. Some of the Bible was written on animal skin. And after 15 years of all of those 40 writers in a 1500 year period who weren't even contemporaries writing on all of those kinds of paper and stone and iron, you can hold it today in your hand and say, God, I know there's criticism about the Bible and there's people, listen, the higher you go in education, the more critics you're going to find of the Bible. They're going to tell you three or four people wrote Genesis, and they're going to tell you that this was added and this was added and this was added. Let me tell you how I feel about all of that. That even makes it more of a miracle for me, because God orchestrated every bit of it so that I could hold it in my hand and I could present it to him and I could read it. I believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of the living God. I believe it has the power to heal. I believe it has the power to set free. I believe it has the power to break chains. I believe it has the power to restore. I believe it has the power to resurrect. I believe in the Word of God. It is a foundation that you can count on in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, God didn't just orchestrate the writing of the Bible and keep it together when it should have gotten lost. God didn't just keep it together from all these places spread out all over the place, and some of it was buried in caves. God didn't just preserve it like that, but even when the Gutenberg press was invented and the very first book had to be printed, guess what the first book ever printed in the whole world was? It was the Holy Bible. And guess what? Since that time, no book, read my lips, no book has ever outsold the Holy Bible.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
The Word of God is miraculous because it's alive. Look at what Hebrews 4 and 12 says, and I broke this down because I want you to see it. For the Word of God is, everybody say, the Word of God is. The first thing he wants you to know is that it is living. Okay, let's don't read it too fast. The first thing he wants you to know is that the Word of God is living. It has spiritual DNA in it. And when you read the Word of God, that's why the Bible calls it bread. How many of you know that when you eat bread, it becomes a part of your body and your DNA thrives off of what you just put in your mouth? That's why. How many of you know when you eat fruit, that fruit becomes a part of your body? How many of you know that when you eat meat, if you do eat meat, that meat becomes a part of your body? Well, guess what God called the Bible? He called it a lamp to my feet, but he also called it the bread of life. He also called it the fruit of the Spirit in you through the living Word of God. He also said that it was the meat that you should, not just drink the milk of the Word, but you should also eat the meat of the Word. Why would he refer to the Bible as food? Because when you read the Bible, it becomes a part of your spiritual DNA. It goes inside of you just like the food that you eat goes inside of you, and it begins to realign your life and your spirit because of the power of the Word of God inside of you. So not only is the Word of God living, the next thing he said, it is powerful. The Word of God is so powerful that it has raised the dead. A spoken word has raised the dead. The Word of God is so powerful that a communist government official can read in a library and change his life and become a gospel preacher. And not only did he become a gospel preacher, Hong Yang has a ministry in underground China that has already won over 500,000 Chinese to Jesus Christ because one man read a Bible. That's the power of the Word of God. Hallelujah. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even between the division. Now, this is where a lot of people really read it too fast. Don't want you to notice these words. piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. What is the difference in my soul and spirit? My soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. Do you ever think thoughts you wish you hadn't thought? Well, the Bible gets between you and that and your spirit. Have you ever had a weak will and did things you wish you had never done? Well, the Bible gets between that and your spirit. Have you ever done things? Have you ever had emotions that got out of control and you let your heart be affected by that? Well, the Word of God gets between your emotions and your spirit. So guess what? You can have terrible emotions today and still be saved. You can have a weak will today and mess up, and Jesus still wants you. His grace and mercy keeps you because of one thing. There is a sword that separates your soul and your spirit that says, this is mine. You want to know what that sword looks like? Well, if you go to the tabernacle or the temple, you got the outer court. That's where we lay our sins down. You got the inner court, which has the table of shewbread. That's the Word of God. You have the menorah, which is the Holy Spirit. You have the altar of incense, which is prayer. But when you get in the Holy of Holies, that is nothing that no man can enter the Holy of Holies. That is where the presence of God is. Every man's hand built the altars and built the fires. Every morning they built the fire on the brazen altar. Every morning the priest would light the lights on the candle, sprinkle the frankincense over the bread, and put all the spices over there. Man was kindling. That's us trying to reach God. But when you get to that back room, there is another light that no man has lit. There is another power that no hands have touched. There is another anointing that wasn't squeezed out of an olive. There is another presence that wasn't birthed through the womb of a woman. There is someone in the back room waiting on you. And if you can just get to the mercy seat of God, if you can get there, that is what this Bible is doing for your spirit. The Bible says, oh, your body's going to wear out. It's going to get sick. Sometimes you got to cut things off you don't want to cut off. Sometimes you got to do things you don't want to do. Sometimes you sneeze when you don't want to sneeze. And you get a cold when you don't want to get a cold. That's the outer court. But on the inner court, when you do that, you get your Bible out and you get your oil out and you anoint your house and you start praying and you start worshiping the Lord. Now you're in the inner court. But can I tell you something? That's your soul and that's your body, but not your spirit. Your spirit belongs to God, and no devil can touch it, and no enemy can touch it, and no man can touch it. That's your Holy of Holies. And there's something that stands between your faults and His glory. There is something that stands between your mess ups and His victories, and that is the Word of God. There is a sword that separates the soul and the spirit. Yes, your spirit belongs to the Lord, and no man can have your spirit. Oh, they may take your mind, they may mess up your emotions, but your spirit belongs to the Lord, and that's why we worship from our spirit, and that's why we praise from our spirit, because there is a sword that protects the weakness of man from the glory of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good preaching, and I'm going to have to stop here for a second and praise God with you, because it doesn't matter who said it. He's the one that said it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, it doesn't stop there. It's the division of soul and spirit, and I've heard people read that bone and marrow. It's not bone and marrow, it's joint and marrow. Why would you need a sword for a joint? Because you're cutting something off. If it was bone and marrow, you're scraping something out. If it's joint and marrow, you're cutting something off. And the Bible of God, the Word of the living God, is a mirror that I can look into, and it reflects back on me and lets me know how I'm doing. But sometimes the Word of God, you know, we don't talk about this much in churches anymore, but when I grew up, everybody knew what the word conviction meant. Anybody, when's the last time you heard a preacher talk about conviction? We want to talk about feeling good and making more money and, you know, God's going to get you through. And we can shout all day long on breakthrough, but sometimes before you get your breakthrough, you need to cut something loose. Sometimes before God can take you where he's trying to get you, he's got to break something off of you. Well, I don't want to get into this, but what do you think the whole act of circumcision was about? God said, I'm cutting something loose so that every seed that comes through you comes through covenant. I'm putting a covenant between me and you so that every child you bear comes through a covenant relationship with you and I. And before I can have that, I've got to cut some things loose from your life. And not only is that a type of circumcision of the flesh, but the Bible says there is also a circumcision of the heart. And there are some times that God has got to cut some things loose from your heart to take you to the next level. Everybody wants to go to the next level. Well, some people are carrying too much weight to make the climb. Yes, the next level is higher. New levels, new devils. God, if I'm going to go to the next level, take off this weight that so easily besets me. Take off this weight that ensnares me. I might want to hang on to it, but help me get rid of it, God. I want to go higher, Lord. And thank the Lord, his word will convict me. And he will not only cut it off at the joint and the marrow, but the same God that can cut it off is the same God that can say, stretch forth thy withered hand. The same God that can cut it off is the same God that can say, blinded eyes be healed. Oh, he's not just taking it away. He's going to give you something new in its place if you just trust the hand of the Lord.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.